Thank you, everybody. It's good to be back. I want to encourage you. God has not forgot about you. You are on God's heart. God loves you. And we are living in exciting times in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what CNN says, Fox News says, Facebook says. The kingdom of God is at hand. There are angels at work today on the earth. There are people getting saved. There are people getting healed. And we get the opportunity to join in the fun. You don't sound convinced just yet. I'll tell you what. I preach better when I get participation. You know, we don't just come to church just to spectate. We must become engaged. Because, listen, the church isn't this building. The church is you and I. We are called to be temples of the Holy Spirit, not timeshares. We are in one of the most greatest moments in history. Listen, Jesus saves the best wine for last. What does that even mean? Well, in the book of John, Jesus turned water into wine. Christians have been trying to turn it back ever since. But Jesus turned water into wine after all the wine was gone. Do you know that the early church started off in power? It is going to end in power. Okay, I want to encourage you this morning because I was encouraged this morning. I had my message ready, prepared. It was a good message, but the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, I have something to share. And I said, Lord, I already have my message ready. Would you rather have a good message or a God message? I feel that Bethel Church is in a transition period, but it's up to each and every one of you to decide what legacy, what church do you want to be part of? Because the children of Israel gathered around the presence of God. Today, our Sunday morning services gather around a sermon. Do you want to be a church that gathers around activities or a church that pulls on the presence of God, not only for yourself, but for your city? Come on. It's time that we get hungry for the things of God. It's time that we get thirsty for more of Jesus. My name is Joe Pony. I am delighted to be here with you. I brought a rowdy bunch with me. You'll see them in a few. That's them. That's them. Praise God. Come on. I love those guys. You'll see a little bit of them in a moment. We are happy to be here. My lovely wife is here. I believe that my life was changed. Not the day I got saved, but years after. I was reading the scriptures, and it was John 14:12 that really changed my life. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth, this is Jesus. Anyone who has faith in me, the work I do, he shall do, and greater works than these. That really bothered me. Because I was going to Bible seminary at that time. I was reading the Bible, but I wasn't seeing these things happen. I would see Jesus raise the dead. I see Jesus casting out demons. I see Jesus healing the sick. And I wasn't seeing that. My professor wasn't even talking about how to cast out demons. He was talking about Christology in the Bible. And that's good, although that's good stuff. Theology is good. Our study of God is good. Okay, our doctrine must be important. But listen, I'll tell you what. The Bible isn't a discipline. The Bible for you and I is an invitation. It's just not God's word. Because if you think it's just God's word, you'll open it like me when I first got saved. Like if it was an eight ball and just open it like, God, speak to me. God, open it and like. the Gentiles shall be, say, what's a Gentile? That's not what I want to hear. Judgment shall fall upon the house. Oh, God, this is not what I, yeah, that's what I thought when I, God's word. That's it, yes, it is God's word, but I'll tell you a better definition. It is a book of documentaries, a book of autobiographies, a book of biographies of men and women who've encountered God. It is a book of men and stories of men and women who walked with God. So when we open this, it's not a discipline that we read early in the morning, barely waking up. Let me just check this off my daily list. No, it's not a discipline. It's an invitation to show you and I what is possible, what God is inviting us to. I see how Daniel was 10 times smarter than all the people in the kingdom of Babylon. How he walked with, how Nehemiah walked and the hand of God was upon him to do a great work. I take those stories and I say, God, I want your hand upon me. I've seen it on the life of Nehemiah. I've seen what you've done in the life of David. I want this for my life. I want to do a great work. Because how many of us know we're not just called to do church stuff? We're called, look, he's not just the God of salvation. He's the God of salvation. We're called to bring solutions on the earth today. We're called to bring creativity on the earth today. Wisdom on the earth today. We are called to manifest the goodness of God in every sphere of influence. That means the business sphere. That means the school sphere of influence. That means our households. We are called to release the goodness of God everywhere we go. Yeah, you could clap to that. That was good. That was good. You know, this is what changed my life. I was reading these things and I seen these things happen in Jesus' life, and I knew I had to go after. I knew salvation just wasn't the end for me. Many of us think that salvation was God's ultimate goal. Sorry. Salvation wasn't God's ultimate goal for you. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not all have sinned and fallen short of salvation. Glory is the end result for you and I. See, when people think that salvation is just the end goal for our Christian walk, we have a more exciting testimony of our past than our testimony of our present, our future. Let me give you an example. I'm like, hey, brother, how you doing, brother? Oh, I'm doing great, brother. God is good. And I was like, man, how did you come to the Lord? Like, what's going on? Okay, well, yeah, I came from a life of drugs. Man, I was running from the cops. I came out of jail. I had parties every night, okay? I got drunk every night and just partied my life. Now I'm saved, and now I sing hymns and I go to church. It's like, wait, your past life actually sounds more interesting than your life as a Christian. That's sad. I have a testimony, but I'll tell you what, the testimonies I have today are greater than the testimonies I've had in the past. I could tell you about the time, yeah, come on somebody, it's all right, you clap in church. I could tell you about the time I went to Mexico, and we were building houses in Mexico, and there was a young boy on the floor dragging himself around. He was about 3 years old. His legs did not work. They were lame. And he would drag himself on the floor, and the family that we were building the house for just considered him an embarrassment. They didn't even acknowledge him. We were trying to build this house, and you could just feel in the atmosphere people were irritated of this little boy because he was very dirty, and he drug himself all around. He had dirt all over himself. His pants was all the way down to his ankles. His nalgas were hanging out. It was just not a pretty sight to see. And all of a sudden, I said, man, somebody should get this kid. And I felt the Lord speak to my heart, you get him. This is the reason why you're here. And so I put down my little hammer that I had. And I went and I reached to this little boy. And I lifted him up in the thought of Jesus. What would Jesus do? Came to mind. And so I picked him up and I said, this is an injustice right here. This is not what his life should be. And so I started to pray for this little boy's legs. I started to pray. They were so flimsy. I started to pray for them. I declared strength inside of his legs. I started to pray in the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, the mother was like, no, don't pray for him. It's okay. You don't have to pay attention to him. And I was like, no, it's all right. I want to pray for him. And all of a sudden, that was my goal that day. We were praying for that little boy. I was praying for that little boy. And until the time wrapped up. I lifted up his pants. I tied his pants. I wiped off the dirt all over him. And we gave the keys to the family that day. And man, I knew that something happened. Something took place that day. We come back a year later. And a man by the name of Gustavo comes up to me. And he says, Joe, come, look at this. And he has broken English when he's sharing this. But he's like, you remember the kid that you prayed for, the baby that you prayed for, the three-year-old? I said, I do remember him. And he shows me his camera phone. And I see a little boy walking in his home. And he said, the moment after you guys left, he started to have strength in his legs that wasn't there before. So they started taking him to rehab, and he learned how to walk. Come on. Like, he not only received strength in his legs, but the family partnered with God. See, I just want to encourage you, your greatest breakthrough will be your greatest follow-through. It's not enough to have breakthrough in your life. You have to follow through with your breakthrough in order to occupy the good things that God has placed in your life. I could tell you testimony after testimony of my life now, and it is much greater than my testimony in my past. Because we are called to do great things for God. Today, I am in full-time ministry. Come on, somebody. Still in the marketplace. And when I say that, I got saved, and I spent 10 years of my life in full-time ministry at church. And then recently God spoke to me, a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And so I started a business with my wife, and my goal is now I'm in the marketplace as an entrepreneur, and my goal is to see as many people succeed as possible. And not to have the business world change me, but to bring the presence of God in the business world. Releasing creativity. Releasing amazing things. Releasing the fresh perspective of God out in the world. So when people see what I do, they're just like, wow, that's amazing. That's what I'm doing today. I'm in full-time ministry as an entrepreneur. Listen, I just want to encourage you. You are in the full-time ministry, regardless if it's at a pulpit or not. You are in full-time ministry at your workplace. You're in full-time ministry when you are at home, being a father, being a mother. You're in full-time ministry cleaning up the house. It's time that we stop categorizing our lives, thinking that something's more holy than others. Everything is holy unto God. That's actually my best friend, Jordan, right there. Jordan, what's going on, man? That's my best friend. Let's give him a round of applause. I'm sorry, Jordan. I'm sorry, man. You're late, bro. What's wrong with you, bro? It's my best friend since kindergarten. We're 30 now, so that's quite some time. But I just want to encourage you that God doesn't just want to save people. He just doesn't want to heal people. He wants to heal economies. He wants to heal the infrastructures and create new systems, new ideas in the workplace. The power of God, of the gospel is not just limited to people. Mark 16:15 says that, preach the gospel to all creation. It doesn't say preach the gospel just to people. All creation can benefit from the goodness of God in your life. So are you ready to be people that partner with God and release the goodness of God in every area of society, including your households and families? So I was going to share something quite profound. about releasing the goodness of God here on earth. But the Lord switched up my message this morning. And I want to share with you a little bit about what he gave me. Let's turn to our Bibles to Acts 2, 42. Acts 2, 42. I didn't even have enough time to give my slides to the people upstairs, because that was just how fast the message changed. So I'll be sharing these scriptures from the pulpit. You can open up your Bibles. If you don't have your Bible, please sit next to a Christian. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. Acts 2:42 says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles, signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Today, I want to talk to you about community. You were made for community. We all have different forms of community, whether it be the friends that we grew up with, maybe it be family at home, maybe we have a community at our workplace, or maybe it is Sunday morning for you. But we were all made for community. I'll tell you what you are not made for. You are not made for isolation. When God created Adam, he said, "It is not good that man be alone." Do you know the enemy is in isolation? He's been isolated from the things of God. You and I were not made to be in isolation. You and I were not made to be alone. We were called to be part of people group that believe in the things of God and that contend for the things of God. What comes to mind when you hear the word community? For some of us that may have grown up in church culture, many may see it as a restriction. Maybe the word community will bring up hurt, pain. You weren't saved for an orphanage, or a spiritual orphanage, I should say, where there is fighting, where there is bickering, where you don't feel safe and you have to watch your back. You were made for a spiritual family, where you can champion one another, where you can encourage one another, where you can go after the supernatural with one another, where you can pray with one another. You may say, "I haven't found that." Well, it's time that you become that. We may have had dysfunction in our life. And you may be even in a place of dysfunction. You may be in a place of stagnation. I want to ask you a question. Who is the community that you're around? Because the people that you're around will affect where you are going in your life. Their saying says, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your destiny." I want to get around people that are successful. I want to get around people that are creative. I want to get around people that contend for the things of God. And so I put myself out there. I put myself in a place where we can develop a community. You and I were made for a community. And when I share community, I want to share an invitation for you today. Because I believe that there may have been people that have ruined it for you. There may have been relationships that you've been in that you got hurt in. But just because you've been hurt in a relationship doesn't mean that all relationships are bad. Just because you may have been hurt by a church member doesn't mean that all church members are bad. Just because you may be even hurt by a church leader doesn't mean that all church leaders are bad. If you had a bad experience at the dentist, I know I have, that doesn't mean that all dentists are bad, so stop going to them. Some of you need to get to the dentist. John 13, 34 says this, a new commandment I give to you. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. Many people think or say, you know, I have a good relationship with God. My relationship with God is great. But how are your relationships with people? Because our vertical will always affect our horizontal. How are your relationships with your family? How is your relationship with your wife? Don't go there, bro. I see the guy in the back like, don't. I think it's time that we reevaluate the relationships in our life because we are called to have healthy relationships. We're called to get around good people. But let me just tell you something. It has to begin with you. This has to get healthy first. Our emotions have to, listen, our emotions are great. But let me just tell you something. They are great servants, but horrible masters. Our emotions are great to serve us, are great to experience, but we're not called to be controlled by them. And if we see unhealthy patterns in our life, it is time that we reevaluate the condition of our hearts. And stop pointing the finger at what isn't right. Or what could be better? Because you're the perfect candidate. You see, many people have walls because people have been hurt. But the same walls that protect you from being hurt are the same walls that isolate you from being loved. To have true relationships is to be vulnerable. I know that's a scary word for men. Like, what do you mean, man? Because men weren't taught to be vulnerable. Men weren't taught to share their emotions. Let me just tell you something, men in the room. The most greatest thing you can do, the greatest thing you can do for your family, the greatest thing you could do for your children, the greatest thing you could do for your wife, for your community, is to be vulnerable and express yourself and share how you feel. In our culture, in the Hispanic culture, we were taught not to cry. Like, what are you crying for? You just scraped your knee. Get up. Stop being a baby. You know, and we learned not to cry, to hold it all in. And that's one of the reasons why statistics today show that men live shorter lives than women. Because men do not share what is going on inside here. They're just like a crock pot. They just go on with life, and they all push stuff down, 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 and never comes up until it explodes. When women, they just love to talk. Praise God. I'm glad women love to talk. My wife, she loves to talk. I love to talk too. Especially during the basketball game when the Warriors are playing. Yeah, seriously. I was like, oh, God. She's like trying to talk to me. I'm like, yes, honey. I'm turning it louder. That's great, babe. That is phenomenal. And, you know, and then it learned, you know. We learned, like, okay, you know what? I'm sorry I hurt you. Next time, let's not talk during the basketball game. You know? Listen, we are all made for relationships. And for our relationships, you can't prevent conflicts, You cannot prevent arguments. You cannot prevent disagreements in your relationships. Just because you have a disagreement in your relationship doesn't mean the relationship's bad. Just because you have a conflict in a relationship with another person doesn't mean that that conflict has ruined your relationship. You cannot prevent conflicts and arguments and disagreements happening in your life, but you can prevent them from ruining your relationship. What comes to mind when you hear the word conflict? Fight. So something happens when we have conflict in our relationships. We do one or two or three or four type of things. Number one, we either sweep it under the rug, okay? We don't talk about it when an argument happened. Days later, we act like nothing happened. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been a kid before and, you know, you just got chewed out and then, you know, the next moment your dad's like, so, son, what do you want to eat? You know, like, Dad, you just chewed me out, you know? Sweeping it under the rug will never fix the problem. It just builds on it. Another way people handle conflict is they get angry. Have you seen The Incredible Hulk? People get like The Incredible Hulk when a conflict arises or when an issue is brought up. And you may have experienced it. You may have been afraid to share a conflict or share your feelings with somebody because you may have been afraid of how they may have reacted. Have you ever been there? Am I just the only one? But we have to also look in the mirror. Do you get like The Incredible Hulk when somebody brings up something in your life? Or are you a safe place? Do you allow people to talk when there's an issue? It may not be normal to you, but it takes practice. Because I'll tell you what, why am I sharing about relationships? Because this is God's heart. God didn't have in mind a denomination when he created the world, when he created sons and daughters. When he created the earth, he didn't have in mind a denomination. God had in mind sons and daughters. The end product is family. It started off at family in the Garden of Eden. It's going to end with family. And if we can't learn to work with each other, if we can't learn to communicate with each other, there's going to be a big, huge problem. We won't last as a community. Bethel Church won't last as a safe place for the city of San Francisco. If we can't work with each other, if we can't work out problems with each other, if we can't communicate with each other, there will be a big problem because we have to be a healthy family as a church. We have to be a healthy family in the body of Christ. And we have to be a healthy person to be able to communicate to the world. I don't know about you, but when the world sees us arguing and fighting and stuff, they don't want to join that family. They think to themselves, man, my family is dysfunctional enough. I don't want to join another dysfunctional family, okay? We fight and we argue and all these things and stuff. And it's like, that's not inviting to the world. The world is looking for a family. It is looking for a safe place. I may be preaching to myself this morning. Another way people handle conflict is they shut down. They just turn off. They just don't want to talk. They just go into that place of isolation. That's not healthy. I want to encourage you. Stay out of isolation. Get yourself around healthy people. Get yourself around relationships that you could trust. Keep those people in your life. Another way that people handle conflict is they just stay quiet and avoid it, maybe out of fear or maybe out of the thought of it getting worse. You know, there are ways to handle conflict with each other. And for a church, our church in Stockton, we practice this. We start off as a small community, and very early in our church plant, we learned healthy communication while playing PlayStation 4. my pastor at the time, Matt Gonzalez, we were best friends, and we had a school of ministry. And after church ministry, after, church functions, we would, play FIFA. And all of us would play FIFA. It was like a big, huge thing, a video game. FIFA is basically a video game that's a soccer video game. And so we would play soccer. And I can't tell you how unchristian we were, We were bad, We were just laughing at each other, poking fun at each other. And feelings were definitely hurt. And we had to learn in an early place, how to communicate with each other. And we talked about, my feelings were hurt when you scored that goal and rubbed it in my face. But we practice being vulnerable with each other. And guess what? When that line of communication was open, great things started to happen, because what happened in our church actually spilled over to our families. How many of us can use healthy communication in our families? And just not overlook things, or just not push things aside, but really address things. Because I'll tell you what, conflict always leads to greater intimacy. Always. You always become closer to somebody who you have to work out something with. I want to encourage you, do not give up on your relationships. Two ways to handle conflict in relationships. This is more of a teaching this morning. I hope you get something out of it. Number one, two ways to handle conflict in relationship. Number one, forgive and overlook. There are times where we are called to forgive and overlook and just move on. Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Listen, not every opportunity is for us to address. Not every opportunity is for us to pull someone aside and share how we feel. I think we have to put our big boy pants on and say, that's all right. Give people grace. They're not out to get you. People make mistakes. Don't take it personal, because people are not intentionally trying to hurt you. People got their own junk they're trying to work through. And you just may have been... you just may have encountered them on their days they didn't have coffee. I'm glad I didn't run into Jeff when he was on that fast. I may have had to overlook an offense. You don't have to be sensitive about everything. And so we are called to cover certain things. We're just called to cover things like Jesus has covered our sins and our mistakes. That's the first way to handle conflict. Second way to handle conflict is have healthy communication. Matthew 18, 15 through 17 says this. Matthew 18, 15 through 17 says this. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Not between you and somebody else first. Not between you and your prayer group first. Like, did you know what she did this morning? We're going to pray about this, but let me just tell you what she did to me. No, that is not what the Lord has called us to do. You are called to go to the person that offends you or hurts your feelings, because they may have not known, okay? To go to them alone. If he listens, the Bible says, you have gained your brother. Let's just stop there. When you have a conflict and you share what's going on, And you listen, come on, that is one of the best things that you can do, is share how you really feel with somebody. And it doesn't have to be forceful. It doesn't have to be in haste. You may have to sleep on it for a day and not just share it. I believe we're called to communicate in an honorable way. Have you ever tried to communicate when you're angry? I bet it didn't work out very well. Don't communicate when you're hangry. Don't even talk when you're when you had less sleep. Or don't try to handle a conflict with somebody at work when you're hungry or when you're tired or when you're still mad about the situation. It's just practical wisdom. Don't try to handle a situation through text, because many times it could be misinterpreted. You have to do your best to understand one another. I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody in your life that hurt you, that you're still holding on to the pain? Is there anybody in your life that wronged you, that took advantage of you? They may have took advantage of you financially. They may have taken advantage of you physically. They may have stolen something from you. Is there any situation in your life that brings back a hurt when the thought comes up? I want to give you an invitation this morning for freedom. Because I just gave you strategy this morning on how to handle conflict. I gave you strategy this morning how to communicate. It was more of a teaching sermon than a preaching sermon, because I believe we are called to have healthy families. We are called to communicate. We are called to be healthy as men of God. We're called to be healthy as women of God. We are called to raise up our children and teach them that they should share how they are feeling. We are called to develop households where we gather around the presence of God and become the friend that people feel safe with. Become the friend that people can talk to. Become the friend that you can that people can come to. And if I have hurt your feelings, then please let me know. I want to make it right. We are called to be those people, because Jesus says that's how they will know that you are my disciple. I came here sharing these strategies for Bethel Church this morning. But this is the goal. The goal is to develop a healthy family in here so that the world out there can see it and want to be part of it. When will the Lord be the Lord of our hearts? When will we let go of bitterness? When will we let go of unforgiveness? Is there any unforgiveness that you're dealing with in your heart right now that you're struggling with? I want to give you an invitation for freedom, because listen, forgiveness isn't for the person. Forgiveness is for you. When you forgive somebody, it's not saying that it was okay of what they did to you. What forgiveness does is saying, hey, you know, although that wasn't okay, I am giving this to the Lord. I shared this maybe last time, but forgiveness is not the same as trust. To trust somebody is to trust somebody, right? With whatever you have. But if my best friend Jordan took $5 from me, right? Oh, that's my best friend. I'll probably trust him again. But if my mom took $5 from me, okay, that doesn't necessarily mean that I will trust that. My mom's, man, she's an angel. Okay, if I had a friend, okay, that took $5 from me, I can forgive that friend. But that doesn't mean I should trust that friend with being around my house, or I should trust that friend with my wallet. You can forgive people and still have healthy boundaries. And saying, you know what, this is my safe place, but and this is where my friends belong, this is where my intimate relationships belong, and this is where, you know, my closest relationships belong. And guess what? You belong like way out there. You know, I still love you, I still forgive you, but you belong, like, you know, if this was my house, you know, and my friends are in my front room, and my intimate relationship, my family is, like, you know, in my kitchen, and my wife is in my bedroom with my son, like, these are, like, the degree of intimacies of my life, and somebody may wrong me, guess what? They don't have to be in my front room. I don't have to trust them with my front room. I'm not definitely going to trust them with my kitchen. They belong outside. Healthy boundaries. That's what healthy boundaries look like. If you are dealing with an hurt or pain or bitterness, I want to invite the worship team to come on up. Because I want to give you or anyone in here an opportunity to let go. And just a heads up, okay? When you let go, you still may get those thoughts again, but you have to remind those thoughts that you forgave that person. You may still get those feelings of emotion again, but listen, you have to remind those emotions, you forgave them, and you moved on. Is anybody receiving breakthrough this morning? It's time that we become healthy people. Not only for our church, but for our children. I have a son. I want to be a healthy dad for my son. I want to show him the way of the Lord. And I won't always get it perfect. You won't always get it perfect. But let me just tell you something. When we hold on to bitterness, it will ruin our life. It will consume us. And so with every eyes closed in this place, I want to ask you, if you've been wrong, I'm going to invite up my prayer team. Come on up, my prayer team. I want to ask you, with every eyes closed, if there are anybody here that have been hurt or that have had had a relationship that turned sour. And you still feel the sting of it. And you're ready to forgive them. I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to invite you forward, but I just want you to raise your hand. Yeah. 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 It may have been a father. Your father may have not been there for you. It may have been your mother. It may have been your own family members. It may have been a coworker. It may have been a business partner. It may have been a past marriage. And you've just been holding on to it. I want to encourage you. It's time to let it go. Powerful thing you can do is just say, enough is enough. I want my freedom. Enough is enough. You will no longer control me. This bitterness will no longer control me. This offense will no longer control me. Because I'll tell you what, offense in the Greek means trap. It's a trap to fall into offense and to stay bitter. Yeah, I still see hands going up. Yeah. So this is what I want to do. I want to pray for you. You can put your hands down. I want to pray for you. I want you to say, Father, I want to pray with you. So I want you to repeat after me. I'm just going to guide you in a prayer of freedom. I want you to place your hands over your heart. Everybody, just place your hands over your heart. And I just want you to say this. I want you to say, Father, right now, I repent for holding on to bitterness, unforgiveness, offense. Right now, I am ready to forgive. And underneath your breath, I want you just to release anybody that you've been holding on to. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Really quick. You may have even been sitting here and you may be thinking like, oh, I'm okay. But let me ask you a question. If you were in a grocery store and you seen that person on the same aisle, would you just hurry up and go to the next aisle to avoid them? If that is you, then I want you just to release their name as well too. Praise God. Now I want you to say, Holy Spirit, I want you to bless them. I release them to you now. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, take this. Fill me up with your presence now. All across this room, God, I declare breakthrough. I declare breakthrough in the lives of your sons and daughters. I declare where there has been grief and mourning, God, I just declare right now health and wholeness now. Angels of the Lord, I ask that you do your thing in the life of your sons and daughters right now, right now, right now, right now, God. In Jesus' name. Some of you may even be here and you may have unforgiveness toward yourself. I want you to forgive yourself. If there's mistakes that you did, if there's people that you may have wronged, I want you to forgive yourself. Because listen, you are not more powerful than the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus calls you cleansed. The blood of Jesus calls you righteous. So you have no right to declare you that you are unrighteous. It is time to let go of the weapons you've placed against yourself, and it's time to forgive yourself. At this time, this is what I want to do. I just want to sing a quick song, and then we're going to bring it to a close. Let's sing a quick song, and this is what we want to do. I have my ministry team here, and these guys are dangerous. And what do I mean by that? Is these guys are filled with the Holy Spirit, and these guys want to pray for you, and we want to make ourselves available for you in this time. And there are things that these guys may have on their hearts, and we just want to share them with you guys. So.
As Joe was speaking, God was speaking to my heart, and as Joe was saying that, you know, when we build up walls to protect ourselves and we block people out, but we also block out God from coming. You know, there's certain places of our hearts where we build up walls for other people, but he doesn't have access into it as well. And as he was talking about forgiveness and letting that go, I saw walls breaking down and opening up. I saw a deepness, you know, God come into a deeper place of our heart. And as he comes to know us, we get to know him in a deeper spot, in a deeper place. And I had seen like a rushing wind of the Holy Spirit kind of just come through this place. It's just a freshness, a deepening. And I even saw a picture of an iceberg. And you only see about, they say, like 10% on the top of an iceberg. But it goes far deeper down in the waters. Well, God, when you opened that up, when you opened up to forgiveness, allowing that person, you know, and God to come in, I feel God wants you to take you down to the depths and show you that 90% you don't see. It's not there yet, right? We're always growing in God, right? We're growing in our relationship. Well, he grows with us. And he wants to show you and take you to those deeper places. So, Father, I just release that, Lord, as they have forgiven people and let you in and let them in, Lord, as they're beginning to take this walk of healthiness, you know, taking these steps, you would take them deeper into you, into your heart, how you see them, how they see others, how they see themselves, Lord. Lord, the rushing wind would just come, Holy Spirit, just fill this place from the left to the right, from the right to the left, Father. I just bless everyone right now. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing. We ask you for more. In Jesus' name, I release that. Amen.
So there are some conditions we want to call out. If anybody are dealing with these conditions, we want to pray for you.
As I walked in, I felt like a heartbeat. It wasn't a regular heartbeat. So is there anybody having like heart palpitations or anything?
So what we'll do is we're going to call out some conditions, and then we're going to have worship. And we're just going to call these conditions out. And then if you have these conditions, we want you to go up to the person that called these conditions out, okay? Because this is what the Lord wants to do. These guys came prayered up, and they have direction from the Lord on what the Lord wants to do. And we just come to serve you guys, okay? And so if you get something, don't feel shy. When worship starts, come on.
Okay, on the way here, I saw a fishing hook was thinking maybe somebody went on a fishing trip and there was an accident. Maybe they slipped and fell off of a boat or something like that. So if you were in an accident on a fishing trip, I felt like that was highlighted. And also chemical imbalances, if there's somebody who has an imbalance in their mind.
I saw problems in the upper back or in the spine, any tightness or trouble breathing due to pain in the upper back or spine. I just want to call that out. You can come to me.
Your right side of your jaw. Yeah, your right side. Either a tightening or it doesn't open as much as it should. Just a tightening.
that right hip. Is this my right side? Yeah. problems in your right hip functioning, being sore, your bone, anything like that.
On the way, me and my girlfriend, I was feeling some things as far as I felt really congested and in my mouth and in my head and in my nose. And I feel like there's breakthrough for a lot of people here today. And the most powerful prayer I've prayed over my life is, Holy Spirit, come. And I think the Holy Spirit wants to come in your guys' life for your families and for your futures and for San Francisco. All of San Francisco is going to be saved. All of them will be saved, and nobody's left out. And on the way here, I actually saw like a basketball being rolled, and that God was reminding me Christianity is a full contact sport, and we just got to get in the game. So she felt anxiety, like you guys feeling constricted at all, anxiety, anxious thoughts. That's not the mind of God. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's something the devil has to deal with, not you guys. So let's get free of that today. And for me, I felt like anxiousness and congested. So I just want to break through for that and just pray for anybody that needs that.
Amen. Amen. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to have worship. And if your condition was called out, we want you to come on up. This is going to be the official dismissal. If you don't need prayer, we want to bless you guys and have a, we want you guys to have a wonderful Sunday service, but I do have to share something. Is it okay if I share one last thing? Okay. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, talks about 9 spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. Okay. So what are these guys doing up here, calling out conditions and things of that sort? They are actually operating in one of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is the word of knowledge. And it's basically for anybody that needs to be strengthened, encouraged, or comforted. So we're not doing anything New Age. This is New Testament. Okay? So we just want to encourage you with what we're going to do in this moment. But I have something to share. That woman in the back. Ma'am, there's the ma'am in the back. Hi. She's looking back. No. Yeah, yes, yes. What's your name? What was it? Vera, I felt like the Lord highlighted you because you're a sign to everyone here. It was actually difficult for you to get here. Things weren't going right, but you made it here because I felt like the Lord has a breakthrough for you. The enemy has tried to take you out. I actually see that there's been situations in your life that you should have been dead, but the Lord has sent an angel on your behalf to protect you, to guide you, to strengthen you. I even feel like there's like these family members that you have on your heart. You're like a testimony to your family. And I feel like when this is all said and done, you're going to be ministering to family members. And I see family members encountering the presence of God because of you. And so I want to, could you stand up? Does any of this stuff make sense to you? Come on. Awesome. Okay, Come on, praise God. Well, I'm going to pray for you, okay? Is it okay? There's this breakthrough that is going to take place in finances as well, too, because there's been this struggle with finances. There's actually been some mishaps. I even see, like, the last 6 months has been difficult for you, where there's this, been this turn that took place. But I feel like the Lord is saying, enough is enough. And I see breakthrough happening in the area of finances for you. I see there's this breakthrough that's happening even with health. Personal health. I even see like there's this pressure that happens in your chest sometimes. I just declare right now, breath, right now, the breath of heaven, right now. Place your hand on your chest right now. Father, I declare healing in the body now in Jesus' name. Yeah, you are a carrier of God's joy, and I see joy breaking out in your life and in the life of those around you. So I bless you in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord some praise. So this is kind of what we want to do. We want to, this is the official dismissal. If you have any prayer requests or if your condition was stated, we want you to come on up and we want to pray for you, okay? Bless you guys in Jesus' name. Let's worship.
softly in the background. You guys are free to go. We're going to continue praying. God bless you guys. See you later.